My left hand with these things don't work right. Everything's right-handed world.
Is that better?
All right. How's that? All right. Y'all can be seated for a moment. And we certainly are glad to be able to be here with you this morning and also tonight. And nothing better than being in God's house and being in God, with God's people, reading God's Word. And worshiping Him in spirit and in truth according to the message that He gives to us. And it's a pleasure and a privilege, I feel. And I'm very thankful that Brother Shepherd entrusted me to stand behind this pulpit in his absence, because it's a very important thing. And the pulpit has to be guarded, and I'm glad he was able to ask me to do that. Glad I was able to be here this morning. We moved to Madisonville in 1979, and this has become our home. And last week I was in my home church, and I preached for them. But this has become home, and the area, and we are certainly grateful that God's given us these years here. And been at Grace Baptist, I think we joined the last Sunday of January 1979, and I've been there ever since. Came as associate pastor, and then in 86 became pastor. And the Lord's given us a good ministry, and we thank God for the school that He's provided for us. We started that in 1981, and so God's always good. And when you look back and see all the things that He's done in your life, you have to recognize the goodness of our Lord. And a month ago, the first Sunday of May, I announced my retirement from Grace Baptist, and not retiring from preaching, but I'm retiring from pastoring, and we're going to be moving to a place that's not my home. And you have to make it where you are, make it your home. And so we're moving up close to where my daughter lives, and looking forward to those days and years that are ahead of us, and serving the Lord there in their church, and being able to help as much as possible in any area. But God's always been good to us, and very, very grateful for His goodness in every walk of life. And I'm glad I can say this morning, I know how it feels. And that song is very good testimony of the knowledge of the no-so salvation that we have. And I'm glad for that. And so we're grateful to be here. Enjoy you folks, and always enjoyed coming at your special meetings and preaching on the radio, and during the some of the times that we have the marathons. And I feel like I'm home. And we're glad that we have the same, we're on the same page of things of this world and the things of the Word of God. So if you would stand with me this morning, and we'll be reading in Psalm number 111. Psalm number 111. The book of Psalms is a book full of great promises to the child of God. And it is a book that is given to us, has been preserved to us, that we can rejoice and enjoy the good things that the Lord has for us. And we're going to be dealing with some of those good things that God has for the believer. In verse number 1, we'll begin reading. It says, "Praise ye the Lord. I will praise the Lord with my whole heart in the assembly of the upright, and in the congregation. The works of the Lord are great, sought out of all that, of them that have pleasure therein. His work is honorable and glorious, and his righteousness endureth forever. He hath made his wonderful works to be remembered. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion." You ought to put a big amen out there by that. He's full of compassion. And that we are recipients of that grace and that compassion. Verse 5 says, "He hath given meat unto them that fear him. He will ever be mindful of his covenant. He has showed His people the power of His works, that He may give them the heritage of the heathen. I look forward to that, don't you? We'll get the heritage of the heathen. That means they don't have much left. But what's there, we're going to receive that as a child of God. Verse 7 says, the works of His hands are verity. That word verity means they're trustworthy. And judgment, and His commandments are sure. They stand fast forever and ever, and are done in truth and uprightness. He sent redemption unto His people. He hath commanded His covenant forever. Holy and reverend is His name. And the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all they that do His commandments. His praise endureth forever. Shall we pray? Our Lord, we come to You today. We thank You for the blessed word that we have read this morning. We thank You for the message that is in every verse of Your Bible. And God, You have given it to us. You've preserved Your word that we might understand and believe and be able to walk in the paths of righteousness. Now, Lord, bless our time together this morning. And bless Brother Shepherd as he is out of this pulpit. Bless wherever they may be. And dear God, may You give us a good day in the good things of our Lord. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. The Bible tells us that the wages of sin is death. That's very clear. It's really clear when you go by a cemetery and you see the results, and you see the headstones of those that have gone on before us. We all are dying. We're dying people. We're dying creatures. We're not made for everlasting life here. That comes about by transaction and a new birth that comes to us in salvation, and therefore He makes us usable and workable for an eternity with Him. But the wages or the payment of sin is death, whether it be physical death, and without accepting the Lord, it's the result in spiritual death without God. Spiritual death is that results that come about because individuals say no to the Lord. And I'm glad the Lord gives us an opportunity to say yes or no. And it's not predetermined before the world ever began. He gives us an opportunity that we can hear and we can believe and we can respond to what thus saith the Lord. And therefore He gives us eternal everlasting life. Thank God the payment was made at Calvary. There when Jesus died, when He shed His blood, He didn't spill His blood, He shed His blood. He did it on purpose. I don't think they had to hold Jesus down when they nailed Him to the cross because the scripture says He freely lay Himself down. And never a man went to a cross probably like He went. And maybe that made an impression upon some of those that were around. But thank God the payment for my sin and your sin and the sin of the whole world was paid for there when Jesus died upon that cruel cross on Golgotha's hill. Whether we accept it or reject it, the payment has been made. If we reject the payment, then we're going to have to try to pay it the rest of our eternity. And that's an impossibility. We have no ability. We cannot pay for our sins. And so therefore Jesus took care of that, and we accept that. And that is what a great, wonderful, great benefit that God gives to you and I as a believer. That we can know how it feels, and we can rejoice in the things that God has given to us personally. And all of us could probably testify this morning of so many different blessings that God has given to us. And we could write them down. Count your many blessings. The old song says, and name them one by one. And then it says it'll surprise you what the Lord hath done. And sometimes we forget. Sometimes we live in the blessings of the Lord and the benefits of our God. And it almost becomes something that we don't notice too much. But may they never become just everyday occurrences that we do not understand. God woke us up this morning. God gives us ability to be up and around. God gives us breath. God gives us air. God gives us time. And then out before, beyond time, is God gives us eternity. And everybody's going to eternity. There's no difference, saved or lost. Everybody's headed toward that land called eternal. The difference is where you spend your eternity. And you and I this morning, we have some great benefits that God has bestowed upon us. And in these verses that we have read this morning, in the 111th Psalm, there are so many benefits that God has shown unto us that we can call out attention to, and we can rejoice and to know that God has smiled upon us. I don't want the Lord frowning at me, do you? I'd rather have His smile. I'd rather have His approval as His disapproval. And I have had His disapproval, and you have had His disapproval. And we've made judgment calls that were wrong, and we've said things that were not holy and righteous. And so therefore we have our problems, we have our sins, but thank God it's all covered at Calvary. And because I'm saved this morning, I can say as the psalmist does here in verse number 1, praise ye the Lord. That's missing in a lot of places anymore. It should never be missing in church. This is where we praise the Lord. We praise the Lord in our homes. We praise the Lord in our activities. But when you come to the house of God, we can praise the Lord because we are His. We have been bought with a price. Praise ye the Lord. I will praise the Lord with my whole heart. That means everything that I've got. That means every emotion that I have. That means every expression that I make that should be an occurrence of where I can praise the Lord and I can rejoice in the good things of God. The Bible has much to say about praise. I don't know why Baptists don't have as much, but sometimes we have a problem talking about praising the Lord. We don't want to be identified with somebody else. I want to be identified with the Lord, and He says praise Him and honor Him. And so the Bible has a lot to say about praise. In Psalm 150, it has those six verses. It uses that word praise 13 times. Seems like it's pretty important to the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. Honor Him. Praise God and honor His words. In the entire Bible, I looked this up, and 248 times the word praise is used in this book that I'm holding. And I know it's the same book you're holding. 248 times God has put in that, and between the covers of this old book, mine's about to fall apart, I'm getting ready to retire it also. But God's put within it 248 times the word praise. I believe it ought to be pretty apparent to us that He wants our praise. That He wants us to rejoice in Him. Just in the book of Psalms itself, there's 133 verses where the word praise is used. And we've read just a few of them this morning. Praise has left our churches. A lot of things have left our churches, hasn't it? I've been preaching 50 years, a little more. Boy, things are different than it was 50 years ago. But one of the big things is praising our God. We should have the praise of God in our mouths at all times. That don't make us super spiritual. And we ought not to use it so people would think we are spiritual. But we ought to have it and use it and say it because we are spiritual beings now. We're not just of the flesh. We are of the Spirit. We have been born again by the Spirit of God. He lives within our heart. And so therefore, as He lives there, He instructs us. He helps us. He guides us. And there are times that He will nudge us that we would praise the Lord. I'm not talking about speaking some inaudible understandable voice. I'm talking about praising God where everybody know who we're talking about. Praising Him with our mouths. Praising Him with our message. Not just the message behind the pulpit, but the message of our life that people see us live every day as we live for Him. That's our message. Every one of us in here this morning, you have an individual message. You have friends that will read your life. You have friends that will look at you and will hear and they'll recognize there's something different about him, if there is something different about you. I believe we ought to stand out in this world and be different. I believe we ought to act different, look different, dress different, everything different for the child of God, because we belong to him and therefore we have a message to tell the world that Jesus saves and that he is my Savior. We have a message to tell to our loved ones. We have a message to tell to the maybe what we would call extended family. They're not necessarily in our home, but family members. I've got family members. They need the message of the Lord. Yes. I'm sure all of us have have people that in our families that need the message of Jesus saves and the honor that God gives to his people. Message with our mouth. We can praise the Lord with our melody. Sing unto the Lord. Somebody said, well, I can't sing. God doesn't listen to your tune. God listens to your heart. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord.
Amen.
And so we have a melody. And we could get off on a lot of different things there that I know you all agree with. The melodies of this world are very sinful, very wrong, and very ungodly, and the melodies that the world has doesn't honor our God, and therefore we need to stay away from that and honor him with the melody of our heart. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord. The Bible says in the New Testament that we have the ability to speak in psalms and spiritual songs, that we can give the word and give the message that he has done for us and the blessing that God has for us, and just rejoice in the good things of our Lord. That's a benefit that he gives, that we can praise him. All of these things are built in with that word praise of what we do. Then we need to praise the Lord with our manners. You go out here in the world, you're not going to find any manners. I had a fellow this week. I don't know what his problem was. He pulled out in front of me and come around me and pass me, and then just stopped. And I had no idea. All I did was just stop with him. Yeah. I was afraid to go around him. And you never know what somebody's going to do. People do not have any manners. Very little, very few times do we hear please and thank you. Very few times do we find people that are mannerly about their personal life. I can have manners if I disagree with someone. I can still be a mannerly person. To be like the Lord and to put forth his praise. We've let the false cults and the different ones that are so off on the scripture rob us of our true praise that really are our rights.
Amen.
We are the only people that have the right to praise the Lord.
Amen.
He lives within us.
Yes,
I'm glad God the Father in heaven sent his son Jesus to come to this earth. And Jesus said, when I depart from here, I'll leave you another comforter. And he calls him exactly what he is, the Spirit of Truth.
Amen.
He'll never lead you the wrong way. He'll never give you the wrong answer. He'll never have you turn the wrong direction. He's that Spirit of Truth. And therefore we have a praise that we can give unto the Lord. Look at verse 1, the second part of it. I will praise the Lord with my whole heart in the assembly of the upright and in the congregation. Not only do I have a praise, but I've got a place. I'm glad, thank God, I'm a part of the family of God, number one. That's being born again, but I'm greatly appreciative of the Lord that He gave me the ability to understand and to be taught and to learn what the house of God, who the church of God is. And there is a difference.
Yes, sir.
The house of God and the family of God and the kingdom of God, they're three different things. And so many people try to bundle them all together. It's impossible. I'm in the family of God by my salvation. I'm in the church of God by my own initiative that I wanted to be a part of that. I was saved and baptized and then I'm membership. And so we have a place in the assembly of the upright. Now there's some assemblies around Madisonville that are not the assemblies of the upright. Their doctrine will tell the truth on them. What they teach will tell you they are not the assembly of the upright. But we have the place that God has prepared and God has given to us. And I believe when Jesus walked upon the face of this earth, He assembled His people together, His disciples, and He made them His first church. And on the day of Pentecost, the church didn't begin, but the church had the ability to go into all the world, preach the gospel under the power and the work of the Holy Spirit. Jesus established His church. So therefore, I have the privilege this morning that I can assemble with the upright in the house of God.
Amen.
I can assemble with people that agree and people that know and people that have the same understanding that we have, that we can serve the Lord and honor God and tell that Jesus saves to the entire world. What if they don't hear it? Well, you tell it anyway. What if they don't like it? Tell it anyway.
Right.
We have the blessed benefit of the Lord that we have a place that we can assemble together in the congregation. This is your congregation. And this morning I'm in your congregation. I'm here with you. And so we have a privilege that we can praise Him. And we have a place that we can praise Him. And that's His house. The church of our Lord has been ridiculed for a number of years, really since the inception. You read the book of Acts, that's the early history of the local church. And they had their praise, they had their purpose, but they also had their persecution. And it's followed us all the way down, even till today. If you've never read the little book, The Trail of Blood, you ought to find one, get it, read it and reread it. It's just about that thick. Take you about 20 minutes if you want to read it, and solid. But if you go back and really look at it, take you a little while to soak up all the problems of our church beforehand. The church has been, in the history of the church, is sprinkled with blood. The blood of the believer. You get the book, Fox's Book of Martyrs, and you'll find out how they were killed and destroyed. Read the book of Hebrews, you'll find how they were mutilated, how they were sawn asunder, all because they believed in God. But what a wonderful thing we have that God would honor us to come to His house. That God would bless us for we being faithful unto Him. The church should be a place of prayer, yes, but it also should be a place of praise because of His goodness. Look at verse number 2. The works of the Lord are great, sought out of all them that have pleasure therein. This morning, I hope that we can say, I have pleasure to serve God. It is my pleasure to be here with you this morning, but more than anything else, it's my pleasure to be a Christian and I can rejoice in Him. One of the great places that we have in the scripture that we can have pleasure in the Lord is the house of God. To have pleasure in Him that God is working in our heart. It is not what do I have to do. We never say what do I have to do for the Lord. It is what can I do for the Lord. It's not a have-to thing. It's a desire of the house of God and the house of the Lord's people that we have pleasure in serving Him. God's work is not a job. I went to Bible college for one reason, that was to learn how to study. I already knew what I believed. I was in a church that taught those things. I knew what I believed and didn't change anything when I went. But I went to learn, I went to so I could learn how to study and put things together. And I had a professor that says, now, first class, here I am in a freshman class of college. And here the professor is that I'm supposed to look up to. He says, okay, fellas, get it out of your mind that you are something special. He said, you have to realize that you now are a professional and you have a job. Well, that turned me off first day of class. We don't have a job. We have a ministry. We don't have a punch card. We don't have what the world has, but we do have the understanding that it's my pleasure to serve God. You go to a certain restaurant, they say it's my pleasure when you say thank you. And so it is our pleasure this morning to honor the Lord. It's what can not He do for me, but Lord, now what can I do for you? You've already done it all. He's already taken care of everything, every need that I have had, am having, or will have. I don't know. I told church the morning that we announced the retirement, I said, I don't know what's in the future, but God does. When I came, 79, I didn't know what God had, but He did. When we started the school, I didn't know the end result of it, but He did. And I may not know what's around the corner next month or next year, but God does. And so therefore, Lord, what can I do for you? How can I serve you? How can I honor you? Because you've done so much for me. Psalm 16 verse 11 says, Thou wilt show me the path of life. In Thy presence is the fullness of joy. At Thy right hand are the pleasures for evermore. 2 Corinthians 12, verse 10 says, Therefore I take pleasure, Paul says, in infirmities. Now, so far I haven't got that spiritual yet. I don't like infirmities. I don't like pain. I don't like sickness. I don't like troubles. But Paul came to the point, he said, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches. Who wants to be reproached? Who wants to be told you're wrong? Paul said, I can take pleasure in those things, in necessities, in persecutions. And by the way, you and I this morning, we know nothing about persecution. All we have to do is read what goes on around the world, and now in some places, taking part in our own country. He says, in persecution, in distress, for Christ's sake. That's why he could say it. That's why he could say, I take pleasure, because it's for Christ's sake. He says, for when I am weak, then I'm strong. When I have weakness in my heart, if I take pleasure in what God has given unto me and put before my life, then if I will please the Lord, then I can become strong and I can honor Him. So there's praise that we have. There's the pleasure that God gives us. There's the place of the house of God. Look in verse 3. His work is honorable and glorious, and His righteousness endureth how long? Forever. There's a permanence when you serve the Lord. He is a permanent fixture in our life, in our soul, in our body. He is there. And He tells us that here in this verse, He's everything about Him is forever. He's not going to be here a little while and stop. He's the same way same yesterday, today, and forever. His righteousness endureth forever. Now, when I got saved and when you got saved, what did we receive from the Lord? We received the cloak of what? Righteousness.
Amen.
I feel sorry for folks that's not sure they're going.
Yes. Amen.
I'm glad I know where I'm going.
Yes.
I feel sorry for folks that are living in fear because they might do something, say something, act some way that they would no longer be a child of God. You never lose that.
Amen.
We're forever a child of the King. Because His name is permanent. Does not change. His word is permanent. I'm reading it this morning. It's the same word that I was taught when I was a kid in Sunday school. Hadn't changed. Now the world's changed it, but He hasn't. And so those things are permanent. The Spirit of God lives in our hearts. The work of the Lord is forever. And I'm so glad that my salvation is forever.
Amen.
Forever and ever and ever. And you can just keep saying it, and that's how long you'll be saved. What a joy, what a wonderful benefit of knowing I'm going to heaven.
Amen.
What a great knowledge that God has bestowed upon His people that we are saved.
Amen.
His salvation is permanent, and it is given to us from Genesis to Revelation, all through His Scripture.
Yes.
It's real.
Amen.
Look at verse 4. He hath made His wonderful works to be remembered. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion. Plenty of anything you need. God has hills that are filled with the gold, and He can give it a little bit of it in your pocket. He has that ability. He has plenty. Plenty of forgiveness. You better be glad for that. Every day, every day, every day we say, "Oh dear Lord, forgive me."
Amen.
Now I know it's been forgiven at Calvary. And my sins are not remembered against me ever again. But my daily activities, I say, "God help me. God use me." Has plenty of love, has plenty of supply. Paul says He shall supply all my need according to His riches and glory, and He has all of them. So this morning we have benefits, don't we? Sometimes you go apply for a secular. I don't even like that word secular because that means without God. You go apply for a job in this world. You don't necessarily look at how much you get per hour, but what's the benefits? Well, there's a lot of benefits being a child of God, not just hourly, not just little by little, but eternal.
Amen.
Plenty. Verse number 6. He has showed His people the power of His works, that He may give them the heritage of the heathen.
Amen.
I mentioned that as I read it, the heritage of the heathen. That's a strange phrase. It means we're going to get what they think they have. Because He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. And everything under the hills He owns. And one day it'll all be ours. Because Jesus said, "Where I am, there you may be also." He's going to prepare a place for us. And what joy we have in these benefits. Romans chapter 1 verse 16, Paul says that this is the power of God unto salvation. If God could say, "Let there be light," and there was light before the sun was ever created, that's a pretty powerful being. He didn't create the sun then. He said, just let there be light. And woof, there it is. And he could have said, let there be darkness, and it had been that quick also. Someone has said, and you've probably heard it also, that when Jesus was at the tomb of Lazarus, he had to call Lazarus by name, come forth, or the whole cemetery would have come forth. But he identified the one he wanted to bring forth. Thank God one day he identified me. One day he identified you. One day he made you realize who you were and what you were and what you needed. And that what you needed was a person. And his name was Jesus Christ. Pretty powerful. All powerful. None like him. None above him. None before him. None after him. It's just all God. That crowd running around our country and our world today that snubs their nose at God, one day they'll bow their knee to him.
Amen.
I had a fella just almost curse God. One day we were having a... I always get in trouble on the internet. I just say what I think. I have a problem with that. And he said, I'll never bow my knee to God. I said, you'll remember that statement one day. And I hope I'm there to remind you. We will bow. And the whole world and all the crowd that's running around our country trying to destroy everything that our country's been built upon in this Bible. One day they're going to know who God is. They're going to know him in his wrath. They can have him in his mercy right now if they'll take him. But one day, when they reject him to the end, they're going to know him in his wrath. God's not just a God of love. He's a God of wrath. Now, we're called terrible names because we believe that, but that's okay. Still truth. And then lastly this morning, you could go on and on. Verse number 9, he sent redemption unto his people. He hath commanded his covenant forever, holy and reverend is his name. He has given us pardon. I want you to know, and everybody listening, I'm not on parole. I've been pardoned.
Amen.
I'm not serving a God that looks over me and say, yep, that old song years ago, God's going to get you for that. That's about the most ungodly so-called gospel song ever was. No, God's forgiven me for that. He sent redemption unto his people. We are the people of God. And he has redeemed us. He has given us eternal life. And the pardon says, what sin? What sin? He puts them in the depths of the sea. He puts them as far as the east is from the west. Can anybody in this auditorium this morning tell me how far east is from west? Can't do it. Now you can tell how far it is from North Pole to South Pole. But you can't tell me where east and west begin or end. And that's where God has put our sins. What a pardon. What a blessing. What a joyous knowledge that I can have. Therefore, I will praise the Lord with my whole heart. He's taken care of my whole life. He's taken care of my whole body. He takes care of our thoughts. What a God that he has given me the pleasure to serve him. If we're not serving the Lord like we ought to, and if we're not serving him with our whole heart, then we just need to get things right with God and say, Lord, help me to do all I can do for you. I've retired from pastoring, but I have not retired from preaching. I don't think you can retire from something you didn't volunteer for to begin with.
Amen.
Preachers, we're drafted into it. The Lord calls, and it's without repentance. So this morning, are you praising the Lord with your whole heart? Do you realize all the benefits that we've gotten just from being a child of the King? Praise the Lord with my whole heart. Let's stand together this morning. Dear Father, as we come to you, first of all, I want to thank you for my salvation. Then, Lord, I thank you this morning for your presence. Lord, it's sometimes difficult to be in a different pulpit, but I thank you for your presence and your help. And Lord, we ask this morning, those that are in attendance and listening, Lord, help us, convict us, that we have not maybe praised you like we should. We have not honored you as we should. But we are grateful for your benefits, and they're always available. Help us, Lord, to take advantage of that availability of your love to us. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.